Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very accomplished professional from San Francisco, USA, Dr. Ardeshir Mehran. Ardeshir, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So delightful to be with you and your guests.
Thank you. Dr. Mehran is an emotional peak performance architect. He's an author, and all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled You Are Not Depressed, You Are Unfinished, and we'll talk about his book. Ardeshir also had 30 years of research and innovation in emotional health and human behavior. So Ardeshir, before we talk about emotional health and human behavior and your book, tell me about your own amazing journey in brief.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashutosh. And then, so look at me as a behavioral problem solver. So I have a doctorate in psychology with triple majors. I have four masters, a double major undergraduate. I wasn't really after credentials. I was trying to solve a problem, and I didn't know this. The problem was, why am I so depressed? What is depression, and why is depression and mental illness are so hard to heal? It was my own story, my mom and dad, you know. And then when you grow up, you think depression is facts of life. Everybody's depressed, and you kind of you deal with it. And I come to realize, no, actually, we humans don't get mental illness. So my story is very simple. It's trying to share with the world that we get mental, so-called mental illness backward. We think those are causes, they are consequences. That basically, if you struggle emotionally, and especially depression, it means there are some basic human needs, emotional needs that didn't happen to you for you in the right dose, in the right element, and as much as you need it. Basically, there's some deficiency and gaps. Once you know that, you just like the way you take vitamins, you can get back to health again. So my journey is trying to bring this through science, through stories to the world, and saying that suffering is man-made. We are designed for health. Suffering is optional, folks. Don't tolerate that.
Well said. And how would you define emotional health? And what are some common misconceptions people have about emotional health?
Great. Thank you. So this is something that is very powerful. So we in the field of psychology, behavioral research, we have the vast literature, body of knowledge about pathology, behavioral pathology, anxiety, depression, the bipolar, schizophrenia, over decades and centuries. Then go to emotional health. The field has started to trickle. It almost becomes like fragmented. We have a bit of hierarchy of needs by Abraham Maslow, the needs. And then the other one is by Viktor Frankl about the man's search for meaning. But there's a scientific gap about what emotional health, being healthy, looks like. So you ask people, what does it mean to be healthy to you? They says, I want to be happy. Wonderful. Happiness is an outcome of something else. So emotional health, what my research over 30 years happened, working in mental hospitals with executives, many hundreds and hundreds of people, there are seven enduring emotional needs that existed when you go to a scripture, to Old Testament, you know, like the text of, you know, from Eastern medicine to the Western medicine, that there are seven enduring human needs that existed through mankind, cradle to grave. We think emotional needs happen with children, with adults, but the time to get age 40 and 50 figured out. No, these needs, they last the entire lifetime. Those needs are seven. Sense of I belong, sense of belonging, sense of I'm boundless. The 20th century has broken us to basically talking heads. Human being, we are entire body. We think with our body, we know from research, we experience, we show, we perform with our entire being. But Western world especially, body is a transportation vehicle. Go sit right. in the car. The other one is a sense of I'm complete. So third one, I'm complete. Complete means that we do not understand the neurology. We over rely on our, tell me what happened to your childhood, to your past, your teacher, so on. We human beings neurologically perpetually live in the moment. There's no such thing as past. Life experience, they're all in the moment. So nobody taught us this, that you can literally be reborn every moment. So I belong, I'm complete, I'm boundless. The next one is I matter. That whether you're a rich man, poor man, you live in this country, you live on that country, your 20th floor in the basement, everybody deserve dignity, respect, being around the table, sense of I matter. What we know from research, at least in the U.S., there are a lot of mass shooting going on. Those individuals, they are young men, that they're experiencing being invisible. Through the act of violence, they claim their identity. The next one is I make. This is about the labor of your love. Whatever you do. Many people, and this happened to me, to my dad, they do the work because we need to pay the mortgage. We have kids in college, but you, that work is not yours. And that literally makes you sick emotionally. Anything you do, you better do the work that matters to you. Next one is I am, is this your soul voice? That doesn't mean your idea is the best one, but your ideas are your ideas, your conviction, your gravitas. And the last one is I soar. Everybody has a purpose in this world. 8 billion people, 8 billion stories. There's a statement on the board behind me, Ashutosh, is by Maya Angelou. And it says, there's no greater agony than burying an untold story inside you. Everybody has a story. The moment you do that, you break out, you become you. So those seven needs guides us, leads us, and energize us through life. When we do that, we are happy. We are outcome of all this sense of fulfillment. Emotional health is about fulfillment of you and your needs in this lifetime.
How amazing. What a great response. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
My next question, Adisher, is that how does childhood trauma, early experiences, influence our emotional health as adults?
Thank you. Wonderful question. This is the part that psychology, just learning about that. So trauma, there's a bit of over-dramatization of what trauma is. Trauma basically means wound. And there are different types of a trauma. Trauma, at the essence of that, means experiences that overwhelm a person's capacity to experience, to respond in the moment. We as living organisms, we are designed almost stimulus response to experience the life and respond. Trauma overwhelms the system of a child, of a grown-up, with a bad relationship, bad bosses. So you go through certain experiences, you literally, it's called fight, flight. Basically, you can either run away or fight with that, or go to freeze. Freeze means you go, and you basically you become paralyzed. Trauma means a state of paralysis, emotional paralysis, that body gets locked down.
Right.
When that happens, especially when in children happens, and a lot of time is not abuse, sexual assault, it can be neglect, can be poverty, can be being abandoned, can be not noticed, like, you know, being disrespected. You go to a period of being locked down emotionally because the world is not interacting with you. So what happens in those moments? That your body is basically waiting to close the loop to respond. Because that's what organisms do. If something happens, you respond to that. But that response, you are not allowed to. You basically, you sit on it. The next thing that happened, this is more profound. Your emotional fulfillment that I mentioned, the fulfillment of your needs become derailed, delayed, or violated. So you basically, you start to put up with the subpar relationships. So in the work that I do, and I work with a number of high performers all the way to CEOs, you realize they are lonely. They still want to be seen.
Yeah.
They're in the corner office. They're role models, but deep down said, I just want to be seen. I just want to be loved. I just want to be put my title away. And they just have some basic human needs that when we go to trauma, our journey of fulfillment gets derailed.
Yeah.
The journey of healing to know those seven needs. And as you are right now, what is missing? What is gap? What are the gaps and what are the assets?
Mm.
And the journey is the journey of restoration.
Mm.
Here and now, the beautiful part of human being is that you can restore what is not there for you to your last moment.
Mm.
And the reason, Ashutosh, this is important,
mm.
this is how you reset generational trauma.
Mm.
The best thing parents can do is to do their own healing.
Mm.
Because once you do that, you role model fulfillment for your children mm. and their children.
Mm. Very interesting. The other question that has often intrigued me, Ardeshir, is on culture and cultural differences. You know, for example, when we were growing up in India or Asia, we are always told, you're a man, don't go and show these emotions. So my question is, how do cultural differences affect emotional expression and understanding?
Wonderful. So this is a part that sociology and biology collide.
Mm-hmm.
That the all cultures have norms of that, how do you need to behave?
Correct.
To be accepted, to be seen, to be valued, including the words we use to express ourselves. So I grew up in Iran, and most of my adult life I've been US.
Mm.
The same thing that in Iran, if you tell people I'm depressed, people say, get on with it, you know, deal with it. Life is tough. And then that's society response.
Mm.
Biology, human needs doesn't care. So part of the work, this is coming from the field of trauma research, pain mm. clinic, and in fact, a lot of that from military hospitals working with soldiers mm. with PTSD. The language of emotions is not a language of culture, is the language of what are you sensing in your body? That what are you sensing in your chest, your breathing, the pain you have on your shoulders, in your knees, back problem, like a churning gut. Your body speaks to you all the time.
Mm.
Culture ignores that.
Mm.
That's why we end up taking medication or drink mm. or do bad behaviors.
Yeah.
So part of that is that honoring the experience, not just through words, but through what are you sensing your entire body and knowing mm. that you're speaking, whether it's verbal, to your body and to your physical, emotional mm. health.
Amazing, amazing. My next question is that what are some common emotional health challenges faced by the elderly? And, you know, we are in a world that is getting older.
Yeah.
And how can society support their health?
Thank you. Thank you. So when I talked about emotional needs, emotional, the foundation, the seven of them, there is a misconception in the Western world. It's not like that, like in American Indian or like I know in Asia. In the Western world, the sense is that basically by the time you reach 50 or 60, you're done. You know, you go to nursing home, wait more or less to die because you're productive. Working life is over.
Mm.
What we know from research, we are growing to our last breath.
Mm.
This is the part psychology totally missed it. Most of the discussion of human development is about early childhood.
Yeah.
People about like, you know, teen years to early 30, 40, and more or less psychology says, okay, I'm done. You retirement.
Mm.
So as I brought my book out, grandmothers reach out to me, grandparents reach out to me, these already have children generation, and they say that I read your book and I know have stories in me. People in their late 70s, there's the stories in me. I cannot go to a coach. They don't care about me. The doctor says, you know, go take your pain medicine. But I know there's a soul of a young girl inside me. And I want to steal somebody. Your work speaks to me because it's the work of human soul. So part of that human growth is really to our last breath. Those emotional needs, I soar. You're in this earth. You can grow your sense of dignity, your sense of connection. Correct. What is blows my mind is we think because we are married, you raise our kids, we are done. There's so much emotional connection needs that how do you enjoy your body? It's sense of what are you doing? It's not just sitting in a nursing home. What are you doing? How do you spend your time? That so at each stage of life, elderly, how do you reach out and reinvigorate what is already yours? It's part of you. You don't need permission. These rights, parents didn't give it to you. These are biological. These are yours. Claim them. Use them. Society gets in the way.
Yeah. Well said. My next question is on the advances being made in neuroscience and so much more technology. How have advances in neurosciences and the availability of so much more technology deepened our understanding of emotions and emotional health?
Thank you. That's a great question. So in fact, there's been significant advances since late 80s, early 90s about the whole neurology of science. So, and then I will get to the technology. So all the way we came to the 20th century, Sigmund Freud and all the psychology, all the way to the medication. The sense was brain is the primal element of life. That if I, even the René Descartes, I think, therefore I exist. That is the gray matter of our brain. Including the term mental health. That is as if emotional illness is something in the mental. What the neurology shows that human beings think with their entire body. In fact, what we know from neurology, the whole going to the vagus nervous system, the nervous system going from the base of our brain to our body, that there 80% signal from the body going to the brain and only 20% coming up down. What it means, we perceive a lot more sensation from the world around us than even we have words for them. We can't even process them. That's the reason you go to an environment, there's a sound, you see a color, and your body quickly mobilizes. So we, our entire body is involved in everything we do. Number one, that because we can think, we can organize, we can prioritize, we can process, we think that's how emotions are. No, emotions are in the body, and body only lives in the moment. And then, so in other words, what we know from now on, in the past was brain thinks, body follows. What we know, brain follows the body. Way, so part of that, how brain, how body experiences, senses that, responds, brain follows that. That's the reason a lot of people, and so a lot of people reach out to me with the complaint about ADHD, that they're always busy, they're active. And what they do, they go take their phone and they do 10 steps to reduce your hyperactive monkey brain. They're very busy. But I tell people, actually, it's not your brain that is busy. It's your body and brain disconnected. Brain cannot calm itself by it. Is the brain needs the body to calm down.
Right.
So part of that, there isn't the meditation works, mindfulness works, yoga works, all of these to brain and body become whole.
Right.
Yeah. So once you do that, then you're centered and brain is calm, body is connected. And what is powerful, and I do this in a corporate environment, the third dimension of intuition kicks in. Instead of being an analytical person, When brain and body connect, your peripheral analysis, perception, your longer term perspective analysis enriches and you become a much better depth thinker.
Well said, well said. So, Adhishir, I'm now going to move to your book. You're not depressed, you're unfinished. You just showed me a copy of your book. Just show us your book again, and I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out. Wonderful. So go and check out Dr. Adhishir Mehran's book. I'm going to also go and check it out myself. So tell me about your book and how did your own personal or professional experiences shape the book?
Thank you so much. So this book, I think I've been writing this book all my life. So it starts from early chapters about how in 2012, basically I was praying for death because my depression became so severe that and while I was getting promoted, I became a vice president. I was a role model, life of the party. Deep down, I was dead. And so I talk about that was a time I realized we psychologists, practitioners, actually, we don't get depression. Depression is an invitation for awakening. So in the part of the book and in early chapter, there's a segment, it's called Broken Hearts, Not Broken Minds, the primer on depression and anxiety. So I look at history of depression, actually, how have we been dealing with depression since 5,000 years ago? Which the first recorded the story about it is, and all the way to now, and how depression treatment became very medicalized, very prescription-based. It wasn't like this, and brain-based. So I will talk about the history. Then the second part of the book, each one of those emotional rights, I will talk about where they are. What does it mean to you as the reader? How do you sense it in your body and the people around you? What is the science about it? What does it mean when it's high in your life? What is it when it's low? And there are multiple client examples and some of the people who are leading authors, and I interviewed them for my book, and people young and old, that their stories are here. It's very story-based. The last chapter of the book is about how do you bring this knowledge to your world of work, to your family, and finally for your own personal breakthrough. And so I wrote that, and I honestly, this is my first book. I had no idea. And within 3 days, it became Amazon new release bestsellers. And so to this day, people write me from across the globe. I know the book has sold in the US, Canada, multiple countries in Europe, in Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, and I know I'm missing. So people write me, and there's, when you go on the Amazon, and these are people I don't know them, and they say how this book helped people to realize they are not broken, that they basically, they are being off track, and they've been keep getting labels, and that they are not broken, and there's hope for them. And there's people who write me and says, you are not a typical psychologist. You talk about the language of hope, growth, and breakout versus go get more therapy, more medication. Medication is helpful, but there's a part of the humanity that has been lost when you over-medicalize our healing.
Amazing, amazing. So, Adhishir, I have time for one more question.
Please, and thank you.
My last question to you is, for those who are feeling unfinished, are on the beginning, on the brink of beginning their healing journey, what words of advice would you give them?
Thank you so much. Follow the energy. Follow your pain. If you are in pain, many people, they have emotional pain. And emotional pain, it feels like you just feel heavy. You can't breathe. You just feel there's a shadow over your soul. Or there are people who call me, says, I have a stomach ache for many years, especially typically women. Or men says, I have cardiovascular heart, and saying that your body is speaking to you.
Yeah.
way to do that, instead of ignoring that, medicating that, drinking over that, your body, just lean in and invite your body, bring your attention in. The way to do that, follow the energy. Human being is energy. Our soul is energy. Your energy guides you. And instead of thinking something, question you want to ask yourself, instead of thinking something's wrong with you, thinking that there are experiences, emotions, that they have been eluding you. That what has been eluding you are your rights. Are your rights. You don't need permission. You don't need anybody's approval. Your rights are given to you by divine. You're in this earth, you have the rights. Walk toward the energy, toward the light, to fulfill what you deep down you know that is missing.
Very well said. And on that note, Ardeshir, what an amazing conversation this has been. You know, you speak about depression is an invitation for awakening. And I think That's right. Something which will probably be inscribed, like you have Mary Angelou's comment behind you. People will have this put behind them. Thank you for speaking to me about the seven needs of emotional health. Those such powerful seven needs. And I'm sure they're written in the book as well. Thank you for talking to me about culture and the impact on emotional health. Thank you for speaking to me about the emotional health for elderly. And finally, thank you for speaking to me about your book. Thank you again.
It's an honor. Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you so much.
Best of everything. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.